The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
Well, we're seeing labour shortages across many sectors, but the construction industry is one of those feeling the pressure the most. This week, Conor Gray, a manager at engineering contractor Mercury, said a shortage of apprentices in the construction sector is partly due to the fact that younger people are reluctant to get out of bed for 7 o'clock in the morning. Is that really the case? We're joined by Group CEO of FRS Network, including FRS Recruitment, Colin Donnery, and Assistant General Secretary of Connect Trade Union, Brian Nolan. And you're both very welcome to the programme, and we can talk about apprentices in a moment. But first to you, Colin, what are you seeing in relation to hiring in the construction industry right now? Is there a massive labour shortage? What's going on?
Yeah, so there's huge demand at the moment. Now, that said, in the last 2 months, there's been a slight slowdown with the war in Ukraine as prices have increased, and we're seeing a bit of a step back in repricing. But in general, there's massive demand.
I'm sorry, when you say a step back, I mean, because projects are planned well in advance, do you mean that the number of new projects beginning construction is slowing down?
Yeah, but there's repricing happening. There's, you know, small subcontractors, etc., pulling back and repricing on jobs. You know, if they were priced before Christmas, you know, if you look at steel inputs and that, they're up minimum sort of 25-30%.
Okay, but so when it comes to hiring, who's in demand the most?
Right across the board, from skilled trades right the way through. But the pinch point really is at that sort of, I suppose, semi-skilled and high-volume sort of labour area. It's very, very few people. What we have seen during the pandemic is particularly Eastern Europeans, you know, during the pandemic moved home as things quietened down. And they're not coming back. And we've been doing quite a bit of research in FRS Recruitment looking at that. Where are they going? So what they're doing is they're actually staying out in Europe, driving across the border into Germany, Holland, staying during the week and driving back at the weekend. Salaries are slightly lower in those countries, like by about 10%. But when you look at it from a quality of life perspective, they're close to home. Their own economies in Eastern Europe have actually more or less caught up in errors. They're still a little bit behind.
So they have more choices and more options.
They do, yeah.
Just on that point of skilled labour and the kind of skilled labour jobs, how much are jobs paying people like skilled labour or drivers?
So we would see like a skilled labour or driver at the moment is in high demand. It should be taking home close to €1,000 a week currently in the marketplace. So, you know,
taking home €1,000 a week.
Yeah, that's like, and what's happening is there's such demand that they're moving around rapidly. Do you know?
So
what
if you pre-tax that roughly double, that's 2,000. That's about 100 grand a year.
Well, it's working out at about 70,000, 65,000, but there's such demand out there that I suppose, you know, particularly the small engineering companies are having to pay really high salaries to get these people.
Brian Nolan, I just want to come back on that point about apprentices. And there's been a lot of discussion about apprenticeships. What did you make of the remarks about whether or not basically young apprentices want to get out of bed or not?
Good morning. Mr. Gray may have had an experience, I don't know, with some apprentices, but our view of it would be something completely different. I mean, there's a lot of obstacles to young workers joining the apprenticeship system, currently because of the high volumes of activity in the industry, but also because of the delays in the system to ensure that apprentices get through their training period in a swift enough fashion. So the ability to set an alarm clock is not an impediment as far as we're concerned. Maybe if the state put more of an emphasis into increasing the amount of facilities to teach apprentices, it would go a long way to helping that backlog. But we wouldn't share the view that young labour or any older demographic would have a difficulty with alarm clock any more than anyone else. I suppose it's a bit like saying somebody won't work in hospitality because there's night work. I mean, some people will and some people won't. So we tend to find the right calibre of apprentice found. And in particular, the company that's mentioned there, Mercury, I mean, they are a very successful company who would have put thousands of apprentices through the system, which make up the bulk of top-class craft workers that we have in this country. And we shouldn't miss the point that internationally, the Irish craft workers considered among the best, if not the best.
And what about some of the points there that Colin was making about what it's like on the ground with hiring people? Well, what are you seeing? For example, there are some huge building projects going on at the moment, like the Children's Hospital. Intel are doing a big expansion as well. That takes in an awful lot of people. It's very, very good work, and the projects can go on a while. Does that leave gaps elsewhere for smaller projects?
Well, the industry is always made up of more or less three sections. You have domestic, commercial, and then the large industrial. And there are certain sections of industry, as in the workers themselves, who migrate to those sections they most prefer. There are some people that have worked domestic that will never work on an Intel-sized project, and vice versa. So there's always a situation where one section more than another might feel a bit of a pinch at any given time. But, you know, one thing that we're finding, and just to maybe differ from where Colin is, while it is a labour market and workers have a great opportunity here, the sectors that we relate to here, and Connect would represent, say, 21 of the crafts out of the typical historical 25 crafts that exist, or craft apprenticeships. And we'd be finding that in construction, electrical contracting and mechanical contracting, we have legally binding rates of pay which set out the minimum. But that doesn't create a blank check for workers to write, and we wouldn't be finding any labour earning €1,000 take home unless they're working astronomical hours. Because the one thing that is not happening, although the industry is quite busy, is employers have not become over generous and doubled the pay of workers. So the reality of it is the rate of pay for a general operative or a skilled operative can range from anything from €15 to €19. So
Colin,
you'd have to do a lot of hours to get €2,000.
Brian says those sort of rates of pay aren't happening.
Yeah, it's not what we're seeing on the ground. I think the demand out there is just really, really strong, you know.
So what
the construction sector, and whether it's apprentices, you know, the industry is competing against effectively multinationals, right? You know, at that level, at the semi-skilled level, you know, someone 19 years of age coming out of school who's not going to go into a college, they're looking at, you know, a call centre versus construction. And a lot of them are going down the call. And that's it. So it's not a getting up in the morning type of thing, you know. And it's a brand.
But also, I presume, in relation to the pay, that there might be some companies on some projects, and for whatever set of reasons, they've become really stuck right now, and they will pay whatever is required to get through that. But that may not be necessarily across the board.
We're seeing, and Brian is right, there's regulated, you know, pay out there, you know, and he's talked about €15 to €19. No one's getting anyone for €15 out there in the market currently. You will not, an employer will not get someone for that rate of pay.
And Colin, I want to ask you, you talked about Eastern European workers,
sure, yeah,
many of whom went home during COVID, and for various reasons they're not there. If we were to try and attract more workers in, maybe Irish people coming home, or more people from Poland or other Eastern European countries, yeah, it's a bit of a double-edged sword, isn't it, because of the cost of housing?
Yeah, so we're the main partner with GAAGO worldwide, and we're tapping into the Irish sort of diaspora abroad, right? So we have over 100,000 people left here, went to Australia back in after the last boom. There's thousands of Irish workers out in Australia. They're looking back, and they are interested in coming home, but they're looking at the cost of housing. But bigger than that, the availability of housing. So it's a sort of a chicken and egg situation. If we build them, they'll come type of thing, but you need to build them first. On the international worker scene, I think, you know, and it's well documented at this stage, the work permit system is actually broken. We're miles behind the times.
If we want to go outside the EU.
Yeah, if we want to go outside the EU, you know. And there's huge projects happening worldwide, and you look and you go to Australia and that, and we need to attract, like, we need to hire 70,000 people here in the next 18 months to you know, fit in with the National Development Plan. 70,000 people. We're not going to get that from the Irish market. We're not going to get it from Eastern Europe. So we're going to have to go outside and fix that broken work permit system.
Brian, when you look at those kind of numbers that are required, and it takes time to train people and so forth, are these targets for house building and for development plan infrastructure, are they actually achievable?
Probably not in the time frame the government have set. And to be fair, it's not a case that the trade union, in particular Connect Trade Union, want to be pointing saying we talk so. But the unfortunate thing is this discussion has been going on for many, many years, and we would say it's gone back to the Celtic Tiger, or just the beginning of the recession, because we watched as craft workers struggled and decided to move abroad or had to move abroad. And we also struggled to see apprentices qualify back then. So the conversation back then was, you need to train them, you need to train labour, you need to have labour ready for the next uplift in the economy. And as a consequence, we don't have the natural pool of resources sitting there waiting on the sideline to be called in to build houses or to build all the projects that are there. That said, there's a conversation piece that has never been seen out fully, and that is about the 50% of the workforce that exists here in Ireland that aren't necessarily tapped into. I know there's been attempts, and we make attempts, but 50% of the workforce is female. And yet the industries we talk about, don't have a gender pay gap because the legally binding rates of pay and terms and conditions are for the same worker regardless of race, gender, so on. So for that reason, there's a conversation piece needs to be had to make the industries we work in more attractive for women.
Is it changing, Brian? Are you seeing more female apprentices?
Absolutely. And if you look at the bulk of apprenticeships, the bulk of apprenticeships tend to deviate towards the electrical apprenticeship. Then you have plumbing and pipe fitting. And then you have the likes of the construction crafts, which are carpentry, painting and decorating, plastering, bricklaying and so forth. And there's another difficulty with getting people into those apprenticeships, and that is that the industry has moved towards this bogus self-employment model, where you have individuals portraying themselves as self-employed for the avoidance of tax or PRSI or even entitlements or obligations. And for that reason, those individuals cannot pass their skills down to the next generation because they cannot employ an apprentice because they're self-employed. They're not actually companies. And that is causing a huge problem. So there's a whole raft of problems here that's killing us in terms of...
Okay.
No, it does, absolutely.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. Brian Nolan from the Connect Trade Union and Colin Donnery from FRS Network.